Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Rainer's Radio, practical training for joint heirs with Christ, with your host, Diane Thomas.
Good evening, and welcome to Rainer's Radio. This is Diane Thomas, your host, and we're continuing talking about tithing, giving, and the scriptures. Recently, we've been looking at the New Testament, grace, giving, and specifically some of the practical advice and applications that Paul gives in his letters to the church. And when we look at Paul, we see he is the archetype of fulfilling the law without it changing him. He could have been righteous if the law provided righteousness. But through his example, we see that righteousness did not give him a new spirit. He was still dead in his spirit. Even Paul needed a Messiah, God, to change him. And so, likewise, we too, regardless of how much we've sinned or what a good life we've lived, salvation is not about our behavior. It's about our state of being. And until we have been born again, re-spirited, we are dead in our spirit. Again, regardless of our behavior, regardless of our feelings, our beliefs, our knowledge, our understanding. The only thing that gives us a true relationship with God that he has set for this time is to be born again in our spirit. And if you've been born again, you're no longer working on your spirit. Your spirit is now alive. There's only two states of being of spirit, dead and alive. If you're not alive, you're dead, and vice versa. Those are the only two. You're either on or off. So if you have been born again and re-spirited, you are now one with God in your spirit. Now, be sure you get that. Spirit, you are a co-inheritor with Christ. Not will be or hope to be or as if, but you are a co-inheritor, a joint heir. You are a son of God. Regardless of your gender, your age, your denomination, if you have been born again. If not, you're limited in your relationship with God. And the only way you can move from one kind of a relationship to a spirit relationship is if God reveals himself to you. Now, this is something for all of us to recognize as far as evangelism goes. That we can, you know, work on somebody, you know, to try to help them see what their need for God, when really all it takes is revelation. God revealing himself to that person. When he does that, that dead spirit responds. And that is salvation. Now, from then on, the work is in the soul. In the body as well, but the body just has a tendency to follow along. If the soul is resisting God and continues to do its own thing, the body is going to be worn out trying to give life to the soul. But if the soul is being joined more and more, being freed and healed more and more to your spirit, if your soul is being joined to your spirit, which is the way we are made, spirit, soul, and body, then the body will begin to receive that spirit life, that eternal life that is already within you in your spirit. So finances and this tithing and giving question is only important not spiritually, but soulically, because in the realm we live in, finances has power. It does matter what you do with your money, how much you have, how you got it. And because of that, it has a huge influence on all of us. Finances gives you options. As we are wise with our approach to finances, we put our soul in alignment to receive life from spirit. If what was important to our life here was how good of a singing voice you had, then God would have written in the Bible, and he would teach us, and it would have been part of civilization, how important it is to train your voice. There'd be standards on how to judge how good your singing voice was. And of course, the people who would be poor would be those who could not speak or sing, or who had a deaf ear. They would be the poor. So because finances is important to us, it's important to God. That's it. It's not that money is in and of itself, wealth or riches is important to God. It's because in this civilization, it's important to us, so it's important to Him. And we've talked before about in each of our lives, generally speaking, there's three areas that God, once He touches it, He gets our attention. And that's relationships, health, and finances. When something's going on in your relationships, we pay attention in a relationship that matters. When something's going on in our health, we pay attention. And when something's going on in our finances, we pay attention. So that's why God pays attention. So the reason we talk about tithing, again, is to differentiate that fact. So often, when we rely on the concept of tithing, we don't pay attention. We simply write a check. Or now, we have it withdrawn from our checking account. We don't have to pay any attention to our financial relationship with God. And since finances is one of the ways God uses to get our attention, even through tithing, if we're resisting communicating with Him about our finances, He either has to go above and beyond that in our financial realm, or hit one of the other areas, our health or our relationships. And this is all, of course, in that area where our soul does not want to change. And so very often it needs to come up against areas that it can't do anything about. And those are those three areas. Remember, your spirit doesn't need to change. Your spirit is already one with the Spirit of God. That which is born of spirit is spirit. your spirit is not maturing. It's not going from one stage to another. It's not growing spiritually. It's our soul that is returning to its true relationship with spirit. Spirit, soul, and body. Your soul was meant to get eternal life from your spirit, which has already received it and is one with and melded with the Spirit of God. But the soul has so long spent time doing its own thing, it resists change. So God says, okay, I'm going to let you go this far, but now we're going to deal with this. And it's amazing, the church, many organized fellowships and denominations and churches, well, it's convenient for you to do it online, to just set it up for an automatic withdrawal of your tithe into the church. Then you don't have to worry about it. You know then you can check that off your checklist. You've taken care of that duty to God. Now, of course, this is great for them because then you are far less likely to go into your computer system and undo it if you are not happy with the way things are going. You're more likely, the church is more likely to get the tithing that they feel they're owed than if they were relying on you bringing your checkbook or paying cash or filling out your envelope with your debit card or credit card. So it's certainly suitable for the churches and for the receivers to set it up on auto payment. They don't have to think about it. You don't have to think about it. The problem is God wants you to think about it. He wants you to think about it long and hard. So long and so hard that he wants you to ask him. Maybe not every time. Maybe not in every circumstance. But on a basis where if he wanted to change what you were doing, what you were giving, how you were supporting, where it's going. You know, it would be, think about it. If you were supporting a fellowship and been supporting them for 10 years and then find out 10 years in that the money was going to a mission that was not even Christian, or that was behaving in such a way that it actually was counterfeit to your own personal beliefs. So even if you are comfortable with and God approves of you giving to a certain fellowship or ministry or church, you should know where that's going. This is not a blind commitment. This leads us to one of the challenging perspectives on finances that's wrapped up in, again, all this tithing and versus giving, this whole idea of a misunderstanding of stewardship. And again, it goes back to the Old Testament versus New Testament, Old Covenant versus New Testament. In the Old Covenant, we served God. In the New Covenant, our New Testament, our new relationship, we are one with God. In the Old Covenant, God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. In the New Covenant, we own the cattle on 1,000 hills. Now, fortunately, God is wise enough, and our spirit is in tune with him, that we don't have the ability to exercise the authority over those 1,000 hills worth of cattle, but they're still ours. They have your name on them. And this brings us to, whose money is it? We like to say, well, it's God's money. I just want to be a good steward of his money. Or, he's given me all this, it's my responsibility to make him happy, to do my best and honor him and glorify him in making the right decisions. Regardless of why, we won't get into, you know, the whole idea of, does he really need to be glorified, or do you think he's going to do, you know, treat you better because you're doing better? The whole point is, from his perspective, if you are his son, you have everything he has. And what he expects of you is to grow up to be a good son, not a good steward. And the training he has for you is to not be an other, an outside person, someone he brings in to manage his money. It's your money. You manage it. It's your soul. You manage it. It's your body. You manage it. It's your life. Manage it. And it is through that process, turn and go, Lord, this is an area of my life that seems to be out of balance. What do I need to do? Is there healing that needs to take place? Is my belief system out of whack? Is there an attack from one of my enemies that needs to be dealt with? Because it's not, our concern is not that we're displeasing him. That can't happen anymore. Our spirit has already pleased him as much as it possibly could, because we are now in him. But our soul is still trying to run around and do its own thing. So as a spirit being, my responsibility is to cooperate with an awareness, spirit to spirit, over my soul. And as I learn to hear him more and more clearly, and his desire is regeneration or revelation or greater healing in a certain area, my responsibility is to go with him into that area and accept that he is teaching me to be his son in that area. To live as a spirit being that has a soul, but is living in a body that is bound in this earth zone. When we are spending time with the tithing, it's simply to clear out some of that misunderstanding, so then we can just focus on something that takes up a big piece of our pie, finances. And we can just take the whole finances issue, take it to God. God, is there anything else, without all these other misunderstandings about what it's about, that God, as a son of God, we own everything he owns. We have partaken in his creation. We are involved in the decisions he is making even now. So it's not that it's another that we're trying to get somewhere, but the process of being in cooperation with him is what is making us a son in our soul. You are a son in spirit, and you're becoming a son in soul and body. Now, that's obviously the big distinction between us and his begotten son, Jesus, let alone his created son, Adam. Is in both of those cases, Adam, his spirit, soul, and body were in proper relationship to one another. But they died in their spirit and were left to fend for themselves with only their soul. On the other hand, Jesus was born with a perfect alignment, being born of the Father, being born of spirit, was born perfectly aligned, spirit, soul, and body way. And he is our pattern. And being born again and experiencing the same union that he experienced in our spirit, we have already partaken of that, and our soul and our body are following after. And in a sense, we learn the same things the way he did. Though there are things we have to contend with that he didn't. And we won't get too far afield in that, and that's the flesh. Jesus never, his soul was never wayward. His soul was never off doing its own thing. So this is something we each have to work out for ourselves. The salvation of our soul is something we work out for ourselves. Our other enemies, the demonics, Satan has already been taken care of, and the world system has already been taken care of. Jesus did that himself. But because his soul had never gone off and done its own thing, we cannot partake in his overcoming of the soul. We have to do it ourselves. And we learn how to do that through exactly these kinds of challenges. Lord, how do we handle finances? How do we have church? How do we approach fellowship? What is fellowship? How do we get our needs met? How do we meet others' needs? And the whole tithing money thing, not only do we as individuals have a focus on it. Of course, other groups, charities, hospitals are always asking, how do we find out? How do we determine what we do? It's the same answer. And this is how we train our soul to receive life in and from our spirit, is you ask God. And I've asked him three times and he's always said, yes, go ahead and do this, go ahead and do this. That's fine. Then you ask him, okay, Lord, do I need to continue to ask you about this? And let him answer for himself. What is our goal here? To bring our soul and our body into alignment with our spirit. You and I, through the strength of our soul, can't do that. But our spirit, joined with God permanently and eternally, can. Our goal is to stay connected and respond to God himself by learning to wait, by cultivating a quiet lifestyle, learning to hear his voice, learning how to test it. There's a simplicity. What is it? The simplicity of devotion to Christ. A lot of times, that's almost too simple. And when we think about the life Jesus led and how freely he was able to respond to every situation, I love how he never healed the same way twice. And he never gave the same words of advice or used the same story in different situations. He was in constant communication with his Father. He had learned from his Father. He was taught and trained by his Father and protected and directed and guided by his Father. And we're focused on ourselves. What do we need to do? What does a good Christian look like? Just tell me and I'll do it, and then everybody will be happy. So God's after a relationship. This is not about tithing. This is not about giving. It's not about finances. It's about a big area of our life where we have checked it off our checklist that we don't have to ask God. And so the bottom line from all this is start asking God. So we'll see if we can get a little ways into what Paul had to say. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart. Last week we were talking about one of the goals Paul was teaching those that he had brought into the church was to care for those in need. And he was very practical. And so now, again, he's doing exactly what we're talking about. Paul is teaching those in his church to look inside, to ask God how to give, how much, and when, and how. 2 Corinthians 9, 1 through 15. Now concerning the ministering to the saints, it is superfluous for me to write to you, for I know your willingness, about which I boast of you to the Macedonians, that Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal has stirred up the majority. Yet I have sent the brethren, lest our boasting of you should be in vain in this respect, that, as I said, you may be ready. Lest, if some Macedonians come with me and find you unprepared, we, not to mention you, should be ashamed of this confident boasting. Therefore, I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren to go to you ahead of time and prepare your generous gift beforehand, which you had previously promised, that it may be ready as a matter of generosity and not as a grudging obligation. But this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. As it is written, he has dispersed abroad, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. And we'll pick it up there for next week. But think about what Paul is saying. He's saying, I've boasted about how much you guys are collecting, and we'll both look pretty bad if I come to pick up what you've promised and it's not ready, or that you're not happy to give it. In other words, God is practical. So when we're talking about going to him and asking, it's not going to be a fly-by-night. It's sometimes he doesn't want you to give so you can save up, so when he says, okay, now give now, we'll be ready with a larger amount. And we'll get into some of these details as we get past specifics of what the scriptures say. So also notice that this is all talking about giving. There is no mention of tithe anywhere in this verse, in this scripture. So thanks for tuning in. We'll be getting back together again this time next week. In the meantime, feel free to drop me a line at diane@therainersclub.org. Until next week, thanks for tuning in, and have a good night.